I thought your singing today was wonderful. Can you imagine when these masks are gone, how we're going to be singing? But thank you so much for the way you sang, the way you devoted your hearts to God, and that song, When We All Get to Heaven. I was just thinking about that as Delbert was leading that song. What a thought that would be. I can just imagine running to Jason Harden when we get to heaven. And Jason says, hey, come over here. I want you to meet little Zacchaeus. See, I told you he was little. And there he'd be. And there we would walk together. And there we'd see Jesus. And how we'd fall to our knees. And see how wonderful that is. That thought, when we all get to heaven. That's why we're here this morning, to honor our God. That's why we make the adjustments in our lives, because we want to get to heaven. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. There was a father and his grown sons, and they were walking through a cornfield one day. They were not farmers. They were not interested in corn at all. And for most people, this looked like any other Midwest cornfield. But for the father and these three sons, they had spent a lot of time researching old maps. And what they found out was years and years ago, the Missouri River used to flow over this cornfield. Through the course of time and different things, the river had shifted. And what they found out was back in 1856, there was a steamship called the Arabia. And it was loaded with all kinds of cargo to go out west to start a brand new town. It was basically a Walmart starting up. And that steamship hit a log, or a snag, as they call it, in the river. And it sunk. And it sunk with everything on it. And his father and his sons researched and believed it was in that cornfield. And they contacted every museum, not only in that state, but in this country, to see if anyone would fund the project of digging this up. Every museum turned them down. They owned a heating and air conditioning business, so they mortgaged that. They all mortgaged their homes. And they dug and they dug and they dug, and they found the steamship Arabia. And what they discovered is it is the largest pre-Civil War find anywhere. It's a state-of-the-art museum right now in Kansas City. When this was discovered, Smithsonian offered thousands and thousands of dollars to buy that. And they said no. And what we're going to talk about today is a treasure. A treasure that was found. And takes us to the book of Matthew as we talk about discovering real treasure. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 13, Jesus goes through a series of parables about the kingdom. And what he does in these parables is he's illustrating what the kingdom of heaven is like. Six times in Matthew 13, he uses that phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's almost as if Jesus held something in his hand and he's turning side to side and looking at every different aspect of that. He talks about the parable of the sower. He talks about the parable of the tares, the mustard seed, the net full of fish, and of leaven. And in each one of these, what Jesus is trying to illustrate is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Now, before we get to the parable particularly we want to look at today, we need to understand what he's talking about. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus is describing as salvation. As he stood before Pilate, who was a Roman official, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not a king who has troops behind me. We don't have banners. We don't have fortresses. We don't have troops as other kingdoms do. We're not governed by mountains and rivers and geography. We're not even limited by language. This is a spiritual kingdom. As the book of Daniel would say in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, this is a kingdom that will endure forever. It will never cease. That is the kingdom that Jesus Christ has in mind. The kingdom of heaven is like this, he says. And so our focus this morning is on verses 44 through 46 about treasures. Here he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. What Jesus is driving at here as we look at this wonderful parable is that here are two men, two different stories, and they both found incredible treasure. And that's what we want to talk about today. Both of these parables have several common characteristics. First characteristic we find here is they both realized the great discovery that they had. They saw it, and they didn't say, well, you know, that's kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind having it someday. They realized nothing else they ever owned was like this treasure. It was phenomenal treasure. Sometimes on Antique Roadshow, somebody will bring in this old watch-ma-jigger thing, put it before the guy who does the inspecting of it. He finds out it was worth thousands and thousands, and the man's eyes just light. He had no idea it was worth this. These men, they knew what it was worth. They saw that. A while back, I got to spend a few hours with a couple of our teenagers. And whenever you spend some time with Mr. Roger, I'm always asking you questions. What's your favorite soft drink? Who has the best pizza in town? All kinds of things. We got to the question, what is your favorite board game to play? And when they were telling me some of their board games, of course, for me, it's Monopoly. I love Monopoly. Miss Debbie hates it, but I love it. And I can't find enough people to play it, but I play it all the time. Now, years ago when our kids were small, I had to teach them my favorite game, Monopoly. And so, me and the four kids. And if you've ever played the game Monopoly, you know Boardwalk and Park Place. That's the premier property. All you have to do is say those names and you know it's worth something. And so I had the two little brown pieces, Baltic and Mediterranean, the dumps. Mr. Joe, who was a little boy at that time, had Boardwalk. And I said, Joe, I'll trade you two brown for one blue. Because blue's my favorite color, Dodger blue. You get two and I get one. The only time in our marriage, Miss Debbie used my whole name. She was walking by and she goes, Roger Schaus, don't you do that to that boy. Because I knew what Boardwalk was worth. And when we look at our lesson today, that's what this is about. These men understood the value of that treasure. Now, what is that treasure? What is it that they found? Well, they found salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what they found. It wasn't just the Bible, it wasn't the church, it was Jesus Christ. That's what they found. And what they found was something they could not find anywhere else. It was salvation in Jesus. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says it this way, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. What is it that Jesus has done? Jesus can redeem your past. You don't get mulligans in life. You can't say, you know, when I'm 50 years old, I'm going to go back and take that high school geometry test because I really bombed that. That doesn't happen. You can't go back and redo things years ago. Sometimes people move on. Sometimes people die. Sometimes that's just not possible. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, all the wrongs you ever did can be removed by his salvation. And that's what they found. Not only can he redeem your past, he can change your present and give you hope for tomorrow. That's what Jesus Christ does. He changes all of this in our lives as we live for Jesus Christ. What a difference that makes. That not only does my past now kind of line up the way it should be, today makes sense. I have a purpose. I have a direction. I have a plan in life. What's this all about? Jesus is the answer. And I can have the hope of eternity. This is not as good as it gets. This world, as we sing, is not our home. And so through Jesus, I could do that. That's the treasure. That's what these two men found. What they found is you cannot go to the store and get that. What they found is you cannot get that inherited from grandma. What they found was something that's only found only in Jesus Christ. And what we need to appreciate is some people discover this treasure too late. Get your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 16. In fact, some people see it, but at the moment they don't see the value. For instance, can you imagine going back 30, 35 years ago and somebody saying, hey, there's a new startup company called Apple. Would you like to invest in Apple? And we'd say, no, don't think so. We look at where it's today and we think, oh my, I wish I knew then what I know now. You see, sometimes people don't recognize the value. That doesn't change it. And some people never see the value, and some people discover it way too late. Here in Luke chapter 16, we read about the rich man and the Lazarus. And the Bible says in verse 24, as he talks about the rich man, he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember during your lifetime you received the good things, likewise Lazarus the bad things. But now he's being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and they may not cross over from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." What's he saying? I got five brothers, and they're just as dense as I am. I got five brothers, and they don't see the value of this. I got five brothers, and they got both feet stuck in this world. I got five brothers, and the most important thing for them is being rich like I was rich. They don't see the value of the spiritual. They don't see the value of Jesus. You see, some people can walk right past that treasure and keep on walking. But for these two men in this parable, they stopped. And they saw something. They saw that there's nothing else like this. Now, we also need to appreciate that Jesus identified the greatness of this treasure. He does this in two ways. The first way he does by telling us it's worth more than the whole world. He would say in the book of Matthew chapter 16, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" That's what Jesus is talking about, the treasure here. So you have everything, but you die. At the most, you'll live here 100 years, and that's about it. On the other side, you're going to be there forever. So what does it profit, Jesus says, if you have it all and you lose it? And then in another example, Jesus tells us that it's worth the greatest sacrifice. Got your Bible? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And I want you to read what Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says this in two ways. Matthew 5, verse 30 is one we're going to grab. Matthew 5, verse 30. And he says this right after he talks about the idea of lusting after someone. He tells you you shouldn't do that. Verse 29, "If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out from you and throw it from you. It's better that one of your parts of your body perish and the whole body be thrown to hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it's better that one of your parts of your body perish than your whole body go into hell." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine laying your right hand? Most of us are right-handed. And you allow somebody to cut that off. Now, this isn't a surgery. This isn't because I have a diseased hand. This isn't persecution. I'm telling somebody I need to do this. This hand is causing me trouble. Now, you understand, once you cut your hand off, it doesn't grow back. You see, you lose a toenail, it might come back. You cut your hair, it's going to grow again. You cut your right hand off, and it's gone forever. And what Jesus is illustrating here is how significant this treasure is. Can you imagine doing that? I knew a lady years ago. She became a Christian. And in her study of the Bible, she realized that she should not be married to the person that she loved. And she loved him dearly. But she realized from what the Bible teaches, she should not be married to this person. And she realized she had to make a choice, have a happy marriage, and possibly not go to heaven, or to put my right hand down and have it cut off. And she left that man she loved, and she left him for Jesus. That's what Jesus is describing here, the greatness of this treasure. It's not like, you know, that'd be nice to have, but, you know, I just can't afford that right now. Jesus is saying this is so important, this is so significant, that's what you need to have. As we look at our lesson some more here, we need to realize not only did they both realize the greatness of this treasure, both men sold all that they had to get that treasure. The first man, as he's walking through the field, he sells all that he has. The pearl merchant sells all that he has. Both of them recognize that this is more valuable than anything I have at home. This is more valuable than everything that I have. But let's talk about the second man, first of all. He's called the pearl merchant. And what that means is that's his job. Yes, Delbert, what's his job? Well, he's a concrete merchant. He deals in concrete. What's my job? I'm a preacher man. I deal with preaching. What's that man's job? He deals with pearls. So he is one who is looking. He's always looking for that great pearl. And here's a man who understands pearls. Now, they're saying you could put a whole bunch of pearls on this pulpit this morning and say, now, Roger, pick out the most valuable one. I couldn't do it. I don't know pearls. This man did. That was his livelihood. He could look at a pearl and say, this is okay. This is better value. But he saw one pearl. A pearl like he's never seen before. Greater quality, greater value. So important. So much did he want this. He couldn't walk away. He sold everything he had to get that pearl. Now, that may be some right now in our audience this morning. Maybe you came this morning because you're looking. You're looking for something. You realize this crazy 2020 is telling us this is not the way life is supposed to be. And maybe you've gone from church to church to church and you've been looking for something. Maybe you hear a few verses and it's kind of entertaining, but something is missing. And what you do is you find a group of people that are serious about the Bible. You find some who want to follow that Bible pattern as God has given it, not making any deviations from this. You find a group that's serious about prayer, serious about preaching, serious about helping one another. And what you find is there's a group of people who really want to put Jesus Christ in the middle of their hearts. Where Christ is our life, as Paul would say in the book of Colossians. And there you find purpose. That God made me here for a reason. And what you find is direction. Following the steps of Jesus. And what you find here is help. Real help, first of all, from God, and secondly, through God's people. And then what you find is hope. Real hope. A hope that's substantial. And what you find is eternity. And all of these things are in Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been looking and looking all your life for something. And maybe you've read that Bible a little bit and say, you know, why isn't there a group that just does what this Bible says and nothing else? Why is it when I walk in a building that they're trying to sell me something? Why is it that when I go into a place that seems more like a show than church? Why is it that they have all this stuff, but they just don't do what the Bible says? You are a pearl merchant. You've been looking. And maybe this morning, you found that one pearl. This place is different. These people are different. There's a seriousness about Jesus Christ here. And that's what this second man represents. The first man, I like him. He's more like me. He's just walking through a field. His mind's probably on 10,000 things at that moment. And he's just walking through a field. And what happens is he's not really looking. He's not particularly looking for any treasure because who would have treasure in the field? We were reminded in Matthew 25 when Jesus told the story of the talents, the 5 talent, the 2 talents. Remember the 1 talent man? What did he do? He took that talent, he went out and dug a hole and buried it in the field. Folks did that back in the first century because they didn't have banks like we have. And when a group of marauders come through, when the Roman soldiers came through, they may just ransack everything in your house. So oftentimes they took important treasure and they buried it in the field. Well, that's this man. He's walking across this field one day and he discovers a treasure. He just stumbles upon it. And there it is. And maybe that's some of you this morning. Maybe the reason why you're here is not because you really wanted to be here, but your mom made you come, your dad made you come, your wife made you come, your husband made you come, a friend invited you, and you just came. And you thought, okay, sing a few songs, play a couple games on my phone, and we're out of here, we're done with church. But something said in Danny's passionate prayer, as Delbert laid singing like we really sing, something touched your heart. As we look at these words in God's word, something opens your eyes. And you realize there is something about this. There is something about this New Testament system. There is something about Jesus Christ. And maybe for the first time in a long time, you start asking yourself some questions. Questions you haven't thought about in a long, long time, such as, what would happen if I died tonight? What would happen? And you and I know we can put all kinds of ages on that. We've known children that died. We know teenagers that's died. We know people all the way up to the 90s that die. And what if the Lord was to call me home tonight? And what about this Jesus? What about Jesus? I've not really thought about him. I've not really been against him, but I just haven't given much thought about this Jesus. And so you're like this man who's walking across this field, and all of a sudden you stop. You recognize something. You see something real. You see something valuable. You see something that you have got to have. That's what Jesus is driving at in these two parables. And so we have two men, and we have two treasures. And what we see is both of them really wanted what they found. Both of them sold whatever they had. They sold all to get what they had. Now again, we sometimes see statements like this, whatever it takes. You know, sometimes you see this in sports. To win, whatever it takes, it's going to take effort and desire and concentration, commitment. You see that when we talk about wars and battles, what's it going to take to win? It's going to take effort, desire, concentration, commitment. If you look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'd really like to lose 15 pounds, what's it going to take? It's going to take effort and concentration and commitment and desire. What's it going to take to finish college? It's going to take effort and desire and concentration. What's it going to take for me to get to heaven? And when we think about this parable, we think about these two men. One is looking, one stumbles. They both find a treasure. They both realize, this is incredible. They both sell everything that they have. The man in that field, he didn't steal it because that'd be dishonest. He sold all he had so he could buy that field so it'd be him. So let's talk about, for a moment as we wrap this up, let's talk about marriage. What's it going to take to have a thriving marriage as Jesus wants you to have? A marriage that's important. A marriage that is honest and transparent and forgiving and connected and living and doing what God wants us to do. Are you willing to pay the ultimate price? Are you willing to pay whatever it takes? Or do you see that pearl there and say, man, that's neat. Man, I'd like to have that in a glass case on my shelf at home. Man, I'd like to have that pearl. And you look at that price and say, nah, I'm not going to pay that. It's not worth that for me. And so on you go. Is that how you look at your marriage? Or are you willing to do whatever it takes? Jason's doing some great lessons on our Bible class videos about the home. You need to be engaged in those. You need to be watching those. You need to see the difference it makes. What about getting your children to heaven? We all would like to have our kids go to heaven. What price would you pay to do that? More important than they make the team? More important than getting the prestigious college? Would you be willing to burn a vacation to take them to some lectureship that they may be around other young people and learn about Jesus? Would you be willing to turn off the ball game to sit down and talk to your teenager because he seems a little bit upset that day? I mean, what would it take to do that? Can you imagine someday some of our young men in this congregation, some of our little boys in this congregation, standing where I'm standing and preaching their hearts out to Jesus? Can you imagine some of our little boys growing up and being song leaders like Delbert someday, being shepherds like Lee Quinn is today? Oh, I would love to see that. That would be great. What would it take? And you look at that pearl. Oh, I'd love to have that. That's amazing. And you turn over and you look at the price and say, that's cost too much. I'm not going to do that. And so our kids don't grow up that way. And then the third question, of course, is your salvation. What's it going to take for you to go to heaven? And again, we think about walking daily with the Lord. We talk about praying without ceasing, being thankful for everything, having a heart of compassion, grace, and forgiveness, to be engaged, to be an encourager, to be an inviter, to live righteously, Can you imagine, as we sang that song, when we all get to heaven? Is that a pipe dream? Is that a four-leaf clover? Or are you willing to pay whatever it takes? There's a treasure in the field. There's a pearl. Man, I got to have that. And I turn it over and look at the price. It's too much commitment. It's too many Sundays. No. That's what Jesus is driving at. I hope you can see this from this morning, this very valuable lesson of the discovery of a real treasure. A father and his three grown sons mortgaged everything so they could dig up a sunken ship. A man who was a pearl merchant sold everything that he had so he could have one pearl, the pearl of great price. Another man walking across a field discovers a treasure. And he has to have that. He goes home and sells everything he owns so he can buy that field and have that treasure. Stories told one day of a man who met Jesus. And the man said to Jesus, I want to go to heaven. And Jesus says, go and take everything. I give you peace. I give you hope. I give you purpose. I give you direction. I give you eternity. But it's going to take everything you have. The man thought for a little bit. He says, okay, I'm willing to do that. And Jesus says, what do you have? The man kind of sighed. I got $10,000 in the bank. Jesus says, it's mine. That's all you have. The man says, there's nothing else in my house. Jesus said, oh, you have a house. That's mine too. And Jesus, and the man said, well, if I give you my house, I have to sleep in a garage. Jesus said, oh, you got a garage. That's mine too. Then the man said, well, where am I going to park my car? Oh, you got a car. That's mine too. And then the man said, well, what am I going to tell my wife? Oh, you got a wife. That's mine too. What about? He just stopped. And Jesus said, go ahead and finish the sentence. He says, I know what you're going to say. Finish the sentence. What about my children? And Jesus said, oh, you have children? They belong to me too. And Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to let you have your money, your house, your garage, your car, your wife, your children. But understand, they belong to me. You have to use them for me. You have to glorify me with these things. These are not yours. They now belong to me. Here is a man who sold everything he owned. You stop and think about that. If you sold everything you own, all you have are the clothes on your back, and you may have to give those up. There's no house to go to. There's no car in the parking lot. There is nothing you own. You have sold it all to get that treasure. What a risk. What an investment. What a challenge. But they recognize what they were getting was so much more than what they already had at home. And that's what we see in that lesson. Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. What are you willing to pay to have it? Here is a treasure. You've got to turn it over. And there's the price tag. And the price tag has three letters. Y-O-U. It's you. And everything you own. It's yours. But you have to sell yourself. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, any man wants to come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I want us to see in the time we live in today how important it is that we put Jesus before all things. Jesus must be first in our life. We're heading right to an election, and everybody's real concerned about blue and red and donkeys and elephants, and they forget there's an up and a down. And we live in a time where people are all upset about this and that, concerned about masks and not masks and this and that, and we forget, given to us is the most remarkable treasure you'll ever have. It's worth more than anything you can ever have, anything. I mean, if I went to your house and you had a Picasso on the wall, that'd be worth millions. This treasure is worth more. Because Picasso is going to burn up someday when Jesus comes. Eternity lasts forever. And so that's what Jesus is driving at. Two simple illustrations. Two different men. One was looking. One just happened to find it. But they both recognized it. And they both had to have it. And how about you this morning? Maybe you're one among us. And you've never been baptized for remission of your sins. And you know that's what the Bible teaches. Maybe you're one among us and you just come whenever the mood hits you. And you realize that's not real commitment. And I need to be committed to Jesus. Maybe there's one among us and you realize, you know what? I have been looking and looking. And now I see how I can find it. It's in Jesus. It's in the Bible. And maybe you're here this morning and you just came and you really didn't care whether you came or not. And now you've heard some things. What if I died tonight? My family would gather together with tears. We'd have a funeral by Thursday. You'd be buried, but your soul would be somewhere. And where would it be if you walked past that treasure and said, you know, I just don't want to pay that price? That's what this is all about. If we can help you, we're here. We want you to have that treasure. We want you to understand, Jesus says, it's available. You can have it. I can't pay your price. I would love to do that. Jason can't pay your price. I can't pay Jason's, and Jason can't pay mine. Each of us have to pay our own price. But the treasure's there. And once you have that marvelous treasure, you never, ever will give it up. You never want to give it up. You'll see some fantastic things in your life. And my travels as a preacher, I've seen so many wonderful things. I've seen expensive things. I've seen just beautiful things, wonderful things. But nothing I've ever seen would say, I would rather have that than heaven. I would rather have that than Jesus. Nothing equals Jesus. That's our thoughts. If we can help you, won't you come forward as we stand, as we sing. There's a world that reaches for you and me.